This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Never settle. Unless it's into the electrifying BMW i4. Blend the lines of cutting-edge and classic with groundbreaking technology at your fingertips. And experience M-engineered precision while you twist around every turn. After all, electric doesn't have to be static. If you thought EVs couldn't live up to your expectations, then you've never experienced the ultimate electric driving machine. The 100% electric 2025 BMW i4.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with Bolt Cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
Nick Sirianni versus Andy Reid. Just one of the matchups that's going to define this Super Bowl. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So glad to have you. Thursday of Super Bowl week means we are really starting to feel the excitement for Perloff and his Eagles. Well, for Perloff, really, the jitters. You're not at the coaching advantage in this Super Bowl. Now, Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator, is brilliant, but he's 0-8. Against the Chiefs. Now, granted, he's never faced them with a defense this good and this talented. But my question to you, Perloff, is how does the coaching staff wrestle back the advantage from Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo?
Why do you say the Eagles are at a coaching disadvantage?
Because I got eyes.
Well, your eyes are not telling you the right thing then. What is Nick Sirianni?
What am I missing about Sirianni that you're seeing?
Sirianni has a better winning percentage than Andy Reid. Sirianni is having the hottest start of almost any coach in the history of the NFL. I've decided I don't care about the press conferences. I don't care about yelling at fans. I don't care about his goofy look on the sideline. I think he is doing a lot of things right that we all are missing on. I think he might be a very good coach.
But, okay. And listen, I'm not saying that you have to call plays or be like the call offensive plays or be the defensive play caller to be an effective head coach. I think just being a head coach and being a delegator and kind of overseeing everything, game strategy, all that is totally fine. But it also feels like Sirianni is minimized at times. And, you know, at least that's the way that Howie Roseman kind of made it out to be when they fired both coordinators last year and hired new people. And then he's supposed to be the vibes guy. And, you know, it's been up and down. You'll admit that. It's not been all roses.
I will not admit that, because how is he winning 75% of his games if it's up and down? What's down? When's the down?
Okay, but how much
last year, that was a combination. That was a roster thing, too. That wasn't just him. They had to bring in Kevin Byard at the end. Like, they had they ran out of talent on defense.
Okay, so last year's collapse aside, I also think that, you know, him having a really rocky relationship with his quarterback in a way that didn't seem like Belichick and Brady through most of the dynasty, which was guys that kind of got on each other's nerves but ultimately pushed each other. There were reports they couldn't be in the same room together without Kellen Moore there to kind of be a buffer. Like, that to me is, you can't ever let it get to that point. And so, listen, who cares? They're here in the Super Bowl, and maybe that's all that matters. But it always feels like it's a bit on shaky ground with Sirianni as opposed to Andy Reid, who's so entrenched in KC.
I think that reporting is all deceiving. Maybe I'm wrong. I think Nick Sirianni is a way better head coach slash leader than people realize, based on a bunch of things, based on all the results. And now you hear the Eagles in all their press conferences this week, they're shouting out Sirianniisms all the time. It takes to be great, you have to have everyone around you be great, all this teamwork stuff. Like, they're sounding like, I hate to say it, they're sounding almost Belichickian. They're like, they're all in the hive mind of Nick Sirianni now, who is, you know, you call it a vibe guy. He's sort of a teamwork guy. He preaches help the guy to your right, help the guy to your left, shows these videos of players celebrating on the sideline with each other. Like, he does all these, like, sort of cheesy motivational tricks.
Right.
But I got to tell you, I feel like the Eagles are in. I feel like that's a unified team. I know the reports about Jalen Hurts, and I know A.J. Brown has been hot and cold. But I generally think, like, we're in the Eagles hotel. I don't get any sense that that is not one team that is all on the same page. And that it goes to head coaching.
Okay, so one thing about the motivational clips and, you know, all that stuff. Every team does that. And the way that we know every team does that is if anyone was watching the in-season Hard Knocks that followed the entire AFC North, what did you notice? They all do the same thing.
Yeah, they're all Hall of Fame coaches in the AFC North.
No, but I'm just saying everyone has a similar playbook like that in terms of motivational quotes, and they're hanging up in the facility and coming in and having, you know, the guys who say, oh, I don't know if like where our standings are or what we need to do to make the playoffs. It's all BS, we found out in that Hard Knocks. Like, they're going through all the scenarios. They know exactly where they stand at all times. But they were all very uniform. So I really can't give Nick Sirianni credit, is what I'm saying, for doing something that I think is pretty standard in coaching, which is showing motivational clips and trying to, you know, get them to celebrate with each other and make sure that the, you know, the positivity is flowing.
Okay, I did not know that. I didn't know. I thought, because the thing with Sirianni, after every game he shows a clip of, like, the players, like, win or lose, shaking hands and hugging and stuff. Like, that's the post-game video.
You really think that's the reason? I mean, that's not giving enough credit to the talent on this team. Because guys are shaking, your video of shaking hands seems a little flimsy.
Well, I mean, your reason for not liking him is because he's awkward in a press conference and he yells at fans. That's just as flimsy.
No, I never even brought up the press conference. It's not about that. It's about what was the relationship with Hurts. And the fact
that's just a report. I mean, this is Philadelphia. There's always been reports of quarterback coach friction. That's the most overcovered team locally in the NFL. I'm telling you, like, I honestly, there's always probably, you don't think Tom Brady and Bill Belichick had friction all the time?
They definitely did.
Yeah, so that doesn't mean Belichick wasn't a great coach.
But it wasn't at Super Bowl appearance number two. You know, I think Belichick and Brady had friction once Brady wanted to do things his own way.
Well, Hurts and Sirianni are reportedly on the same page now.
So good for them. Okay, so they're on it now, so maybe it's passed. I guess here's my thing with Sirianni. Yeah. I don't think that he's a better coach than Andy Reid. And I feel like at any moment, the sands could shift under his feet and everyone's going to be singing a different tune. And, you know, maybe he wins the Super Bowl and then we forget about it. But Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl in Philadelphia and he was gone, what, four seasons later? So it doesn't, you know, just because you win the Super Bowl even doesn't mean that they love you in Philly, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, Philly's a fickle town. But if Sirianni wins the Super Bowl, like, I take out everything you know about him. Just look at his resume. Like, he's well on his way to a Hall of Fame career. Like, he's actually going to – there are a lot of one Super Bowl winning quarter, like John Harbaugh, Sean Payton, Mike Tomlin, Mike McCarthy. But they haven't won at the clip that Nick Sirianni's won coming into the league. I think a lot of people give that credit to Howie Roseman.
Yeah.
But he's, like, got all-time numbers. Way better than even Sean Payton, who had instant success. Way better than Jim Harbaugh, who had instant success. So that's undeniable. It can't all be coincidence. I'm starting to think that. Now, if they lose, I take it all back.
But get them out.
They win at 43 if he has two Super Bowl appearances and one Super Bowl win over a dynasty team like Kansas City Chiefs. I'm telling you, he's well on his way to a Hall of Fame career.
Interesting. So we're talking about the coaching matchup in the Super Bowl, Nick Sirianni, Andy Reid. So you think that Nick Sirianni beating Andy Reid would have the impact that the New York Giants beating Tom Brady in their undefeated season had for Eli Manning?
No, I don't.
Who
think
literally
that.
Walked just by us right now, because the fact that that win was so historic that the Giants were able to, you know, like put a pause on an all-time undefeated season. You think that the same Nick Sirianni could get the same glow for stopping a three-peat?
No, you're putting words in my mouth.
Sorry. That's
part of it. But no, I think if Sirianni, that is part of it. It's just like a little extra point. The point is he'll be four seasons in with a 7.702. There's only six coaches in history with a better winning percentage and nobody who's going to have that early playoff success. Like, he's unprecedented. He'll be the winningest coach at his age really ever. So, and I just think those numbers are going to overwhelm every other narrative. It'll change, especially if he wins this game. I don't think it'll be like Tom Coughlin, who did nothing. Tom Coughlin was average all those other years. Like, he was good in Jacksonville, so he had that. And I think Tom Coughlin, is Tom Coughlin in the Hall of Fame?
No, he's not.
He will be, though.
He will be. I think two Super Bowls, but it's hard for coaches because look at Mike Shanahan's not in.
He will be.
Mike Holmgren's not in. George Seifert's.
Holmgren is not in?
Did Holmgren in? EJ, can you? No, I don't think he's in. I think we know that. there's other guys. Seifert's not in. Dan Reeves not in. Marty Schottenheimer not in. It's the coaching standard is ridiculous.
Right. Well, Dan Reeves
he didn't win, but he got to multiple Super
Bowls. No, that's a very good point. You're right, but I just think that there's a chance if Sirianni wins, like all those narratives change. Like he becomes the man. I think he actually becomes. I think Sean McVay changed the coaching world by being this young offensive genius.
Yeah.
Everything changes, and motivational leaders will become the new thing. Everyone's going to be looking for the next Nick Sirianni. Possible.
I don't see that, but it is copycat league. I guess my thing is, if the Eagles win the Super Bowl, I just think the credit is going to go to a lot of people before it goes to Sirianni.
Well, one thing, too, you said that the Eagles are at a coaching disadvantage. I don't think Andy Reid outcoached Nick Sirianni in the last Super Bowl. I think it was dead even. I did not come away from that game saying that Reed outdid Sirianni. I thought Mahomes was the hero of that game. Mm. So why would the Chiefs outcoach them here?
I mean, I think it's the same boogeyman aspect of the Chiefs will always do the right thing at the right time. And maybe it's not Andy Reid, but look what Steve Spagnuolo, the defense coordinator, did to the Bills on that last play, the fourth down play. And they send a blitz that nobody's seen, wasn't on tape. Bills had no idea it was coming. Think about it, how many times the Bills and Chiefs have played in the regular season, the postseason, and they still had something cooked up that Buffalo had never seen.
I mean, Hall of Fame. You had a great line yesterday saying Spagnuolo should be in the Hall of Fame just as a defensive coordinator.
Absolutely.
I thought about that. I was like, you were absolutely right.
Think about it. He took down Tom Brady when he was the defensive coordinator for the New York Giants, and now what he's done with the Kansas City Chiefs. And they've turned into, I don't say a defense first team, but a defense forward team. Let's put it that way.
I will tell you one thing. They did not outcoach the Eagles in that Super Bowl. The Eagles, I think, were a slightly inferior team, and they were well prepared for that game.
855-212-4227. Who's got the coaching edge in this game? I don't even want to put that poll up. I feel it would be a landslide.
Well, yeah, but
because Andy Reid has so much respect.
Yeah,
you know?
I know what the public perception is, but I think the public perception could easily be wrong here. Also, I think Nick Sirianni might be a better X's and O's coach than we all know. Like, there's a chance. Like, he just looks like a goofball. And he looks belligerent. He looks like
a... he acts a little belligerent.
Yeah. Yeah, right. No, that's what I mean. Like, his... But I think that's all
A ruse? A work?
No, I don't... For some reason, I don't think that affects his quality of coaching. I think that the Eagles are a very well-coached team. I mean, they came out against the Commanders. It seemed like they knew exactly what to do.
Yeah.
You could... You know, the coordinators... Kellen Moore wasn't, like, reinventing the game in Dallas. He was good, but I think Sirianni might be better than we think.
Our very own Andrew Kaplan weighing in our YouTube chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. No coordinators are ever getting in, according to Cap. I think they should, though. I think there should be an area where coordinators get their due.
LeBeau, who also was a head coach, did get in, right?
Well, Spags was technically a head coach also with the Rams. It just didn't go well.
Dick LeBeau got in, though, as a player, I believe. But he would have been a guy like Spagnuolo. He was ridiculous as a defense coordinator. Offensive coordinators all get head coaching jobs, so you can't. That's not going to happen. Well, who's a guy? Maybe, you know, who's a guy who was an offensive coordinator who didn't become a head coach?
I mean, it seems like they all get a shot.
Nate Hackett's dad.
Oh God! Oh, Paul Hackett, right?
Yeah.
Was his name?
No, I think he got a head coach. Yeah,
no, he did. He was definitely a coach. 855-212-4227. Got a couple more polls up there for you. At Maggie and Pearl on X. Who is the greatest tight end of all time? Rob Gronkowski or Travis Kelce? Do you want to take a guess of where this poll is?
Gronk, 65%.
Even more. Gronk, 72% to Kelce's 28%. Mm. And maybe it's because Gronk was more the pure combination of great pass catcher and great blocker.
Maybe it's because everybody hates everything Chiefs right now.
You think this is Kelce bias?
Oh, my God.
This is
Chiefs fatigue.
Another poll question for you. Can the Eagles win a close game against the Chiefs in this year's Super Bowl? Which kind of comes down to the coaching a bit. 59% are with me saying, yes, the Eagles can win a close game against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And thank you, Mayor.
I hope you're right.
But you don't think they can?
No. I think if the game is close and it's the fourth quarter, the Chiefs are three-peating. I'm pretty convinced of this fact.
855-212-4227. We're here in New Orleans. Just because we're here doesn't mean the show changes. All the same. And that means we can hear from you. So weigh in on who has the coaching advantage, Andy Reid or Nick Sirianni. You're defending Sirianni here. You're on an island, I think. And who's the greater tight end, Travis Kelce, Rob Gronkowski? Final question, can the Eagles win a close game? Got a lot percolating there.
Yeah. I know, I have an idea who our next guest is going to be pulling for in that poll.
Coming up next. Yes, the one and only entrepreneur, does it all, Gary V will be on the set next. Don't move, Maggie and Pearl. Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show from New Orleans, and we've made this like a yearly date. And that's when Gary Vaynerchuk, the great Gary V, the entrepreneur, the social media whiz, the venture capitalist, the sports agent, the ad agency guru, Gary V joins us at the Super Bowl every year. Gary, we love when we get to pick your brain. How you doing?
I'm really well.
I didn't know you had two Super Bowl ads this year that are going to be running.
Yes.
Tell us a little about it.
We have Tubi, the streaming service that is part of the Fox family. We have a commercial for them. And then we have a very, very exciting Duracell, the battery ad for our ad agency. So we're excited. I also want to mention, Mag, this is more to rub it into you, that the Super Bowl III Jets banner is sitting right next to us. And I'm very excited about seeing that close.
Wow.
So, Gary, you know, not to put your business out there, but, you know, Gary, you're I don't know if you're a billionaire. You're close to it. You've always had the stated goal that you will own the Jets one day.
Yes.
Might want to get into the Q-tip industry or something like that to take out the Johnsons. But you've always said you want to own the Jets.
Yes.
And you, this is like you're manifesting it. And I'm sure Jets fans would love it if Woody would step aside and you would step in. Let's get into that, because Aaron Rodgers, here's the thing, Gary. There's everyone split whether Aaron Rodgers should come back or not come back. But here's the question no one can answer. If you don't bring him back, who's playing quarterback for this team?
Well, listen, you know this. Tyrod Taylor is a nice, solid vet.
Oh, boy.
Look, it's really hard because obviously the other Aaron, Glenn, who was a great Jet. I watched all of his plays. You know, you really think about how does he want to start his tenure, right? And I'm very empathetic to the concept of him thinking, let me go fresh and start fresh. I've got, you know, he's going to have a grace period of a year or two. Let me build my culture. You know, Aaron Rodgers is such a halo over anything he's a part of. Kind of hard to build your own culture. So I could see that. On the flip side, to your point, he also might be sitting there and being like, okay, like, what is my optionality? Don't forget, with Aaron Rodgers also comes Davante Adams.
Right.
You know, it's not just Aaron. So, you know, and then what about the cutting and the dead money? And like, it, you know, again, when you get to the, you know, if you're going surface levels on Twitter, just yapping here, but when you get into the dead money of Adams and Rodgers, to your point, what then is the option? And then there's like, how far along is Jordan Travis? That, you know, they took that kid out of Florida State, you know, is he good? Do they think he's good? The last regime drafted him. Is he healthy? Because he had a setback. And then what do you think about the kids in the draft, right? Do you become infatuated with Jackson Dart? You know, he's now going to be a first-rounder people weren't thinking about because of just the skill set. This is what's so fun about business and sports. When I run my businesses, these are definitely the things I'm thinking about. And many decisions have been, you know, essential in my growth, and there's been incredible amounts of missteps that I've misplayed it. I don't know as big of a misstep as trading a 25-year-old Luca. I don't know if I've ever done that, but, you know, I think, what do I think? I think I'm agnostic, Mag, to be honest. I'll be calm and comfortable with either outcome.
I don't believe that.
No, I'm serious.
I don't think you're capable of it, Gary.
No, I am. I'm telling you the truth. Before the game starts, in the off season, I can be very. It's when the game is played where I become irrational. But up in, you know, really understanding the business of sports, owning a large sports agency, wanting to buy a sports team since I was in fourth grade, I've thought all about these things for all my life. I think either could work and either could not work.
This is less scientific, but Brett Favre,
yes,
had a disappointing year and the Jets got hurt. Yes. And then
he didn't have that disappointing of a year.
Well, the second half, disappointing, correct, because of how he was playing.
Yeah,
yeah. No,
well,
he's still.
Yeah, don't forget, they beat the 10-0 Titans in Nashville, 30-7.
Right.
They beat the crap out of them. And that was like, by the way, that was the only time in the regular season in my life that I said to myself, huh, this team could go to the Super Bowl. They were 10-0.
Right, and then he hurt
his elbow.
He got
hurt.
Yep.
And that was it. But nonetheless, you're right.
But then he had a great year the next year in Minnesota.
Yep.
And Daryl Bevel was his offensive coordinator. Ironically, Daryl Bevel just got the job in Las Vegas. And it does seem like Rodgers is following Favre. If Rodgers went somewhere else and had a great year, would that eat you up as a Jets fan?
Not really. Honestly, I'm not overly envious. Like, I'm kind of like, it's all about the Jets, and I'm not overly worried, especially because it's not like Rodgers did, quote unquote, anything wrong. Obviously, got hurt to Maggie's Bills on that play 2 seconds in. Last year, you know, if you really look, again, I get to watch every play. I really care. I really watch. You know, he got dinged up. But the last 6 or 7 games, he played extremely well.
Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V here with us on set. We've made this a yearly Super Bowl tradition, which we love. And I want to pick your brain about some tech things that are coming up and all of that. But last thing on Rodgers, because Gary, you're a venture capitalist, as I said. I don't know if you're a billionaire, you're close to it. You're traveling in different circles than, say, Perloff and myself. The Aaron Rodgers gets a little into this, like, pseudo-psycho, like, the ayahuasca trips to Costa Rica, and it seems like he's with Joe Rogan and, like, all of these sort of elite people. I imagine you run into these people quite a bit. Like, you would socialize with Aaron Rodgers. Do people take him seriously? Do people think he's kind of a joke? Like, what's his standing?
Oh, people take him very... Do you know how smart Aaron is?
Well, he'll tell you.
No. People that don't even like him will tell you.
Okay.
Yeah, no, he's taken serious. Like, by the way, the stuff that he's up to, I don't know if you know this, Mag, I think you probably do. Many people believe in different forms of medicine emerging. Yep. Like, there's so much going on with meditation and ice baths and clean eating. And there's just a lot of grounding, walking on grass with your feet. I think a lot of, you know, Eastern medicine and historical medicine points of view are starting to seep into the system. Obviously, now that RFK is in place, there's going to be a lot of law changes in the U.S. And I think a lot of things are going to be exposed. I don't know if you saw the headline about the red dye. Yeah. That was like,
well,
the
we
red,
want that out.
Yeah, Mac, yeah, the red dye bad. That was just banned in food was banned in hair products 30 years ago for causing cancer, but literally sat in our food for the last 30 years. So, look, my prediction on that, every human has strengths, weaknesses, but some of the alternative things that Aaron is up to, I believe in 25 years, we'll see more normalized.
Yeah, because they're extreme now. A darkness retreat, the ayahuasca, like, that's intense stuff. That's not just clean eating.
No, it's not. And I think it is extreme, but I will tell you this. Everybody thought working out every day was weird in 1975. I'm serious.
Yeah. Yeah.
In 1975, in this country, people did not work out. And Jack LaLanne and Gold's Gym people, they were like, oh, that's crazy. And now it's a normal thing. I'm not sure if everyone's going to be doing ayahuasca in 25 years, but to answer your question directly, he's an incredibly bright dude. And he is respected by both people that love his stuff and by people who don't.
Mm. Can I ask you a question about these two Super Bowls?
Yes.
We're under a Jalen, Super Bowl teams. We're under a Jalen Hurts poster.
Yes.
Personality-wise, and I know you know a lot of people with the Eagles, I have trouble figuring out Jalen Hurts. I know last year, at the end of last year, they said they wanted him to be a more vocal leader.
Yeah.
It feels like this is the Saquon Barkley team. We're almost not even talking about the quarterback. What do you think of him as a leader of the Eagles?
It's funny. And you can look this up on YouTube, Coach Saban had me speak to the Bama team years ago when Quinn and Williams was there. Tua had just taken over. Jalen was still there.
He stayed.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. And then he went to Oklahoma.
I will never forget this. I'm talking to the whole team. And when I talk, when I publicly speak, I bring in a lot of, like, the way I speak, I'll do 3 or 4 things in a speech to get a sense of the audience.
Got it.
And I remember calling my brother right after the talk. I was driving to the airport and flying. And I said, bro, you know who's locked in? Jalen Hurts. So that's my, like, up close. But the first thing, as soon as you went there, the first thing I went to is, like, I knew that there was a chip forming and a focus forming in that kid. I thought it was a great draft pick at the time. It's obviously turned out to be great. Let's also not forget, and we said this about Luka, he's young. You know, like Jalen is a young man, and you've got, you know, you've got to earn your stripes in these NFL locker rooms, no matter how good you are. And people can speak to, you know, point to Jaden Daniels being an alpha this year. But, like, every team has its own circumstances. And you think about what Jalen walked into, the Brandon Graham, the Kelce, Lane John. I mean, you're talking about vets, grown-ass men, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I mean, these are not shy violets.
And these are grown men.
Yeah.
These are men in their mid-30s.
Yeah.
So I think that we live in a cycle now where we don't give people... Terry Bradshaw was still sitting on the bench at this age. Terry Bradshaw sat on the bench for multiple years before he started. We're not giving these kids enough grace. So I think asking him to be, and he's also a comm leader. You know, asking someone to be a different personality, that's a really tough ask for someone to be someone they're not. So whether he ends up being a vocal leader or not, let's use Josh Allen.
Yeah.
You know, because I've watched him up close and personal. Jets passed on him. I was always worried, would he be good? He ended up being way better than I even could have nightmared.
Yeah.
He's much more comfortable being a leader today than we saw him 3 years. He feels completely different.
Yeah.
He's also growing up as a human being. He's engaged. He's you grow up. These guys are children. So I think, you know, my personal point of view is, I don't know, he's been at 2 Super Bowls in 3 years. A lot of quarterbacks mess it up. My New York Jets, and I love this man. I hate to say this out loud. I love Mark Sanchez as a human. But when you know, the Jets had the number one running defense, had the number one defense, had the number one running game in the league, had the best offensive line in my lifetime and one of the best I've ever seen. And Mark, not that he cost him, because he actually played up in the playoffs in his run, right? It's just like, I just feel like Jalen hasn't blown it. He also squats so much weight. This is a real thing. Yeah.
It's the secret weapon.
By the way, and Josh is a monster. It's not the same thing. Nope. So I don't know. I mean, when I see Eagle fans struggle with Jalen, I always laugh about like short memories. Like, you know, like that's a little bit of like overprivileged of, you know, a lot of success for the Eagles franchise. I grew up when the faint memory of the 80s Super Bowl was like, you know, everything that Eagle fans complained about. There's just been a lot of prosperity in Eagle land for a long time.
Yeah.
Gary Vee is joining us for just a couple more minutes. Of course, the entrepreneur, venture capitalist, sports agent mogul, media mogul. You got 2 commercials in the Super Bowl this year. Your agency, you make your own success, Gary. You really do. And no doubt, every time we have you on at Super Bowl, we will get comments that people say, I read Gary Vee's book and it did change my life. Or I listened to him talk and it changed my life. And you've done that for people. You know, you also have this kind of innate ability, I always say, to see the future. You're an early investor in basically every company that we use currently in our society. AI in the future. I think people get a little nervous about where this is going. We're talking to people all across the country.
Yep.
You know, just regular people like me and Perloff. You know, AI is a part of our life.
Just so you know, AI is scaring people that are billionaires on the coast, too. This is big technology.
What do you say to people who are afraid of it? It's going to take their job or it's going to change our lifestyle.
When the tractor trailer was invented, people were scared and it took people's jobs. We literally worked on farms as a society before the invention of these machines. We then got different jobs. AI is big, but I look at history like I did with the tractor trailer. Let me give you another one, Mag. This may blow you away if you've never heard this. Do you know that when electricity was invented, that most people did not bring it into their home when it was ready for their home because the word on the street was that there was demons in the electricity.
Wait, there's not?
There's not. But this is real. But it's really, like, honestly, I want to take a pause.
Sure.
Like, most humans refused to put electricity in their home and stuck with candles because they were scared of this new technology because it had demons in it. Humans, by nature, will default into fear, unfortunately.
Yep.
And politicians empower that, and head coaches empower that, and teachers and parents, we weaponize fear. If you're listening right now in a suburb of Detroit, or you're a tech mogul in San Francisco, you can't be afraid of an inevitable outcome. AI is not going backwards. There will be robots. There will be. It's just going to happen. But we used to ride on horses, and then came cars. This is what it is. And so I would tell everybody, don't be scared of it. Use it. Instead of putting your head in the sand and letting the AI, you know, wave crush you, grab the AI surfboard and ride the wave. This can actually change a lot of people's lives in a positive. If you spent 10 hours on Google and ChatGPT to learn how to use AI, you might use it to do your groceries. And that saves you 20 minutes of time or an hour of time to be with your kids. This is not just about building empires. This will change your day-to-day life, right? And so the phone, You don't have to go to the Yellow Pages anymore for 10 minutes and call the pizza shop and wait. You now get to order a pizza in a second instead of 7 minutes like it took us when we were teenagers, right? And that 7 minutes is 7 minutes you can do what you want to do. AI is going to save people enormous amounts of time. If you're doing something that can be affected by AI, like you're a designer and you don't think of ideas, well then yes, AI will take your job. But if you're a designer who comes up with ideas, the ideas still matter. So you just have to be accountable and you can't just blanket fear it.
Hmm. But then there's downsides. Maybe there's an advantage for waiting 20 minutes for that pizza. I have a 14-year-old and a 13-year-old, and it's a real challenge to keep their phones out of their hands. What do you say to that?
I say you should be a parent and take it out of their phone.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like I really believe in accountability.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Like, I have a 15 and 12-year-old. Yeah. But if you want to be, if you are worried about it,
right.
If you actually are worried about it, instead of surface level like every
parent.
Yeah,
I'm not obsessed with it. Yeah.
You shouldn't be, because this is nothing compared to the world they're actually going to leave it. Everybody, if you have a kid that you're worried about their phone, wait till they're actually half robot when they're 35. Like, I laugh when people are like, this is terrible. I'm like, do you remember beepers?
Yeah.
Like, that was the most advanced technology, and parents were worried about that. This is child's play to 30 years from now.
Mm.
Yeah. Beeping 911 is like, you got to get to a payphone and call me.
Everyone's like, my kid's in their phone the whole time. I'm like, your kid is going to, when they're 50, is going to live in a pod, in a computer pod.
Yeah.
Ready Player One. Like, what are you talking about? Technology just goes forward.
Wait, who's going to be half robot? The kid or the phone?
You.
Like, so I'm going
to
have a robot.
Be half
yeah.
Robot?
Yes, Mag.
I can't wait. Maybe I won't make my hair so frizzy in this humidity. Last one for you, Gary. Gary Vee is here with us. It's so gracious that we always get to do this at Super Bowl.
I love hanging with you guys.
No, it's awesome. We love talking sports with you, and you're so intertwined with this world and all worlds. Last one for you. We do not do politics on the show, but I do want to ask you one question.
Please.
Can you run a country like you run a business? Can you run
this
country
question.
Like you run a business?
Well, we're about to find out.
Well, that's why I'm asking you, Gary, because you can see the future.
Look, I also don't, as you probably know, tend to talk about politics. But let me throw something at you to bring value for listeners. You know, monarchies are having a good run in the world. Like, if we're going to go very in the clouds, a very bougie circles, there is a lot of people that look at what's happened in Singapore the last 30, 40 years.
Mm.
That's happened at the United Arab Emirates, the UAE, in the last 30, 40 years. These two places have prospered dramatically. They are run fully like a business. They are monarchies.
Mm.
They are fully run like it. The problem with monarchies in the history of time is if when you have a good king or queen running the show, and they're great, well, like a good business, it's a great business. The problem is when they die and their rich kid who never worked and wasn't as sharp and is entitled and is bougie comes in and they blow it. So history has shown through, it's happening currently. The prosperity that Singapore and the UAE have gone through in the last 40 years is a more extreme version of running a country like a business than we're about to live through in America these next 4 years.
Wow.
The problem is what happens next. So it's going to come down to the president's, if he's good or bad in making those decisions. Can you run it like a business? In some ways, one could argue they always do that. But, you know, these are very complicated times, no question.
So a little concerned that when Brick and Jack, Brick and Jack Johnson, Woody's sons take over. And honestly, it can't be any worse than Woody.
Well, listen, you know what's crazy about Woody? Like, even though I have such great dreams of buying the team from him eventually one day, you know, he had a lot of prosperity as a Jets. I mean, compared to Leon
Woody, Hess.
The New York Jets of the 2000 to 2011 made the playoffs more times in that decade than they have in the history of the franchise combined.
But we were using beepers back then, Gary.
Yeah. I'm very aware.
Gary,
time moves on, Gary. We're half robot now. That
one
was forever
answer.
Ago.
If Goodell called you and said, I'll give you a team, but you have to take an overseas team, and you can put it in any city you want, because he wants
an
overseas
team. That's a fun question. Where would I put that team? I would put that team probably currently in Berlin. And here's why. It's just very obvious that Germany is taking to our sport much more than the UK. I don't like France. I'm kidding. I would probably go with Berlin.
Okay.
The German interest in the sport has been overwhelming and makes me optimistic about the future of American football around the world.
Gary Vaynerchuk, New York Times bestselling author, motivational speaker, entrepreneur, venture capitalist. media mogul, sports agent. You do it all, Gary, and we wish you all the best of luck in owning the Jets one day.
Thank you. And Mag, I'm very upset that you beat me twice this year.
It was coming, Gary. It was just
the first game we should have had. How do you get a holding call on a one-yard halfback dive? I love when everyone's like, the Chiefs get all the calls. I'm like, let me tell you about the Bills' calls.
Oh.
We got a holding call. That Allen touchdown for the Jets, our Allen, the running back out of Wisconsin.
Braylon.
A one-yard half-a-yard halfback dive they called a holding on, changed that whole game.
Yep. Gary, they clinched the division by Thanksgiving. It didn't matter if they were losing that game.
Mag, it would have mattered.
I love
our competition. It would have mattered. We just fired Saleh. It might have sparked us. I'm very upset about it still.
Yeah, that was a whole mess. We'll do that next time.
Yeah, next time.
Gary V, thank you so much. Okay, we got to take a quick break. When we get back, Andrew Bogish is here with headlines for us, and we've got so much more, including our poll question for you today. Can the Eagles win a close game against these Chiefs if it comes down to that? M&P.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff here on Radio Row. If you miss any of our interviews and want to catch them, you can always hit the rewind function on the free Odyssey app, which is great. It's there for 24 hours. You can download the Maggie and Perloff podcast, or you can hit rewind on our live stream, youtube.com/infinitysportsnet. Let's get to Andrew Bogish, who has headlines for us. Good morning, Bogues.
Maggie, good morning. Jimmy Butler's wish has been granted, headed out of Miami, about to join the Warriors, and Butler will apparently decline next season's $52 million option, instead signing a fresh two-year extension worth $111 million with Golden State. The Dubs are sending Andrew Wiggins, Kyle Anderson, and a top-10 protected first-rounder this morning to Miami. And they're sending Dennis Schroeder to the Jazz while the Pistons get Josh Richardson from the Heat. Miami players found out about the divorce during a 108-101 win in Philly. Nikola Jovic, sad to see Butler go.
My brother, man. I'm going to miss it for sure. I think a lot of guys here will. And he's someone who did a lot for this franchise. You know, he's someone who helped me so much where I'm not sure if I'll be here right now if there wasn't him. And I'm sad and happy at the same moment. You know, I'm sad we're not going to see him anymore, but I'm really happy that he got what he wanted.
We can't have a sad Nikola Jovic. The trade,
heaven forbid.
The trade had the Warriors shorthanded in Utah last night. They lost 131-128. There were other trades as well. Brandon Ingram to the Raptors and Hornets center Mark Williams to the Lakers. He's costing L.A. Dalton Connect, Cam Reddish, and an unprotected 2031. Number one. Back on the court, the Thunder cruise to a 140-109 win with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scoring 50 again. He's the ninth player ever to get to 50 three times in a seven-game span.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Exactly. De'Aaron Fox with 24 points, 13 assists in his Spurs debut, a 126-125 win in Atlanta. He watched Wemby score 24, grab 12 rebounds, and hit the tie-breaking free throw with 2 seconds left.
He's special. Like, just the type of attention that he commands when on the defensive end allows you to do things that you normally wouldn't do. So that's why I think this group can do a lot of things.
Zach Busjama.
Zach LaVine had 13 in his Kings debut, a 130-111 home loss to the Magic.
Oh, by the way, exciting update.
On who?
On Andrew Perloff meeting Victor Wembanyama someday.
What? Tell us.
We did, you know, because we're not always on top of everything. Guess where the Final Four is this year? San Antone.
Oh, yes.
Double dipping, baby. I'm going to now my new plan is to drive down,
perfect,
apologize to Victor Wembanyama. Hopefully, I don't know how we're going to do it. Maybe bring the crew. And it's going to be a San Antonio party, hopefully. I'm going to get my tacos.
Nice, wherever you are.
Yeah. I'm going to get my tacos with Bruce Pearl. It's going to be awesome.
Wait, hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
Have you checked the schedule?
No,
make sure that the Spurs
you're right,
are there during the Final
point.
Four? Because wouldn't they be using the Spurs arena?
God, Maggie, why are you ruining my taco buzz here?
You mean Frostbank Center.
Oh, thank you. Wait, EJ, can you quickly Google what's the day that the Final Four? And I got the Spurs schedule ahead of me.
The Final Four is the first full weekend of April, which would
so
be...
So, 4th?
Yes.
Okay, actually, they're home for Cleveland Friday, April 4th. Cavaliers in town. Oh, you get a good one.
Wow. That is exciting.
Friday, April 4th. Yeah, I guess because the Final Four is
also the Final
Saturday
Four is probably, it might be in the Alamo Dome. Might not even be in their building.
Oh, that's a good point.
It is in the Alamo Dome.
All right. Well, it's going to be hoops heaven in San Antonio that weekend. This
yeah.
is perfect.
Who's with me? Let's go, America.
Well, clearly
sounds
not
nice.
Bogish because you won't let him go with
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Who's with me?
Right. No, let me clear my schedule. Stand by. I'm typing it in right now. Not going to San Antonio. Okay.
Anywhere but San Antonio.
Stay out of Texas.
Yeah, by the way.
You're like, who's coming with me? Oh, wait a minute. I don't want anyone to come with me.
I feel terrible putting that out of the universe because there are many hoops to go through to make that happen, but I got so excited when I heard this.
No, this is happening.
This is happening.
Yeah,
yeah, I like that you even like, wow, we get to see the Cavs.
But I'm not driving with you.
No, that's obvious.
I'll fly. I can't do that.
We had to take an hour Uber ride, and oh my God, Maggie was like, this is us too much.
I was like, can I just ride on the roof?
Yes, we should have flown.
It was... It was so much Andrew Wiggins talk. And to be fair, I was participating. But it wasn't just the conversation. I just can't do those long road trips. I get car sick.
Pre-trade Andrew Wiggins conversation as well.
I know. Oh. We're going to have to do another hour. We'll have to find a new gator farm in Ponchatoula.
The NFL said yesterday the Rams will host the league's first ever game in Melbourne, Australia.
I seem to have totally lost the Australian accent. I had it for a minute, and now I'm going between American and English.
Well, thankfully, that game is not until 2026, so we've got time to work on the accent.
Is that me or Rory McIlroy?
Exactly.
Well, he's Irish, so.
And funny enough, it was supposed to be Cam Smith, so. Who is Australian?
The greatest vocal coach on earth couldn't help this. I mean, Furloff's in a class of his own.
That actually had some Scottish undertones or overtones.
That wasn't helping either because Scotland is far away from Australia.
Hello, Maggie.
It always ends up with you doing just such a mishmash.
Yeah, a little Catherine Hepburn mix in there.
At what point?
The loons, Norman, the loons.
At one point, you dipped your toe in Jamaican as well in this Cam Smith
hey, man.
Breakdown.
Oh, man, this is going to end with all of us fired.
Pete Alonso and the Mets have reportedly agreed on a two-year deal worth $54 million. Alonso will make $30 million for this season, then can opt out, so we'll probably do this dance again next winter.
Oh, fun.
A top 15 SEC matchup last night. Fourth-ranked Tennessee held off number 15 Missouri 85-81. Zakai Ziegler, 21 points, 8 assists after missing the Vols' weekend win over Florida with a sore knee. And Ohio State football is promoting Brian Hartline to primary offensive coordinator, replacing Chip Kelly. They shared that title a year ago. Hartline, of course, has also coached Buckeye receivers since 2018. Guys, back to you.
Folks, thanks so much. Okay, lots to do, including updating some poll questions for you. So we've got a few out there. I'm surprised the one about greatest tight end of all time, or who is the better tight end, Travis Kelce or Rob Gronkowski, is the landslide that it is. 72% to 28%. I don't think that's just because of Chiefs fatigue.
No, everyone hates all things Chiefs right now.
Oh, yeah, because Rob Gronkowski isn't anywhere. The dude's...
He played for the Patriots.
Yeah, he played for the Patriots, and so they're one of the most unlikable dynasties.
Honestly, people and don't even Gronk's remember disliking the Patriots. This is like...
Yes,
I
do.
By the way, I've talked to so many... Well, you guys are Jets fans, but I've talked to so many and Bills fans. I talked to so many people here who are so sick of the Chiefs. That thing is not a joke. Everybody hates the Chiefs. Like, everybody hates Chris. Was that the show? Yeah.
Also, yes, can the Eagles win a close game against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl? 58% are with me. They say yes, they can. Our last guest, Gary Vaynerchuk, the venture capitalist and motivational speaker and all that stuff, he also thought that they could win a close game. And he said last year he bet that the game was going to go to overtime. Nailed that bet.
Second question, will the Eagles win a close game? Can. Yeah, of course they can.
Well, you don't think they can.
No, I don't.
Well, actually, that's where this
No, I still
from.
Voted no, but I still think people are like, people might have read that and say, is it in the realm of possibility? And I actually don't think it is. They have to be, crushing this team to get away with a W. And I think, honestly, I think you're with me, Maggie. I think they have a chance to do this. I think they can repeat the 2020 Bucks where they can really get after Mahomes.
Maybe we do that as a poll question. More likely to happen, Eagles blow the Chiefs out, Chiefs win a close game.
Yeah, I mean, that's a hard one.
I still think
Chiefs win, though. No, I think it's hard to imagine that. It's much easier. Chiefs close win. It's like, that's what we see the Chiefs do again and again and again. So that's how I'd vote as well.
Yeah, 855-212-4227. We have not done a ton of basketball this morning because we've been so wrapped up with the Super Bowl, but obviously we know about the big Jimmy Butler trade yesterday. He finally gets his wish, but not exactly. He wanted to go to the Phoenix Suns. He instead gets moved to the Golden State Warriors. It's going to be an interesting collection of stars here with Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler, and Draymond Green, all guys who are future Hall of Famers, all guys who have played their best on the biggest stages, and can they actually put it together for like one like last hurrah?
No. I seriously doubt it.
Pretty definitive there, Pearl.
You know, Butler was a bit of a role player. When he was with Sixers, he was the primary ball handler all the time, and he was very effective.
Coming up next, get ready, SEC football fans. Former Alabama quarterback Jalen Milroe will join us right here on our set on Radio Row. Don't move. It's M&P.